half.
Yeah.
Half in a risk.
Which is the better half?
Hi, Tess. How are you?
Are you talking about our half versus your half?
He was. I wasn't.
Our half.
Can you?
Oh. I'm set more on the intro.
Yeah. It's in tango, the cannot.
That's right. If he says one thing to us, he can drag me. That's the main thing. He's the word great.
So, what is it saying? So, is it anybody else from the university who's coming?
If they come in,
we're
all talking.
You talk now. There was a talk today, right?
We had a direct detection of class and stuff.
Yeah, so I'm teaching it from the facade, so I couldn't make it. Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's it. And let me make sure nobody else is on the horizon. Yeah.
People are getting worn out.
Yeah.
Three talks.
It's the end of the year and lots of talks. Okay, so it's my pleasure to welcome Mark Yeon-Sung to Perimeter. So he visited here a couple of years ago. And so I think Yeon-Sung is one of the few experts in the world, or say in the universe, who work on the gravitational, who actually has done a lot on the phenomenology of gravitational physics on cosmological scales. And a lot of, a lot of the breakthroughs that have been done in this field have been, Yeon-Sung has been part of it. So it's great to have him, and he's going to tell him or summarize a lot of his new efforts in that direction.
First, thank you for the invitation. I just titled the plain way is the cosmological testing of the gravitational physics using the large scale for such formation. It's a part of the, in some sense, that's kind of very exciting time, and soon. Some is already planned, and also hopefully it's funded in the future. And we have so it's kind of our dreams come true. It's nearly a high resolution, the large scale scanning, the wide and very deep sky. So in this moment, and then we are wondering if some questions. What we can do with such a brilliant data set, and what is our purpose, and then before we launch such a big schema, and then we just the share the our the agreement that we should well prepare, and we should well aware the it should be well guided to our ultimate purpose we can do it such a vision. So basically, in the part of the risk, surely it's a dark energy constraint, and then also it's a part of how we can understand gravitational physics at the cosmological scale, and which has never been tested so far, and then plus, and how well we can understand some the underlying particle physics, which supply the fundamental physics of the cosmological idea. And also, probably, so far we just swallow it, okay? So there's some cosmology, it will be isotropy and homogeneous, then there's some cosmic the principle, and we develop the idea. But why we should use always swallow without testing? I'm pretty sure it would be isotropy, but the homogeneous has never been tested. So it is pretty worthwhile. And we test the cosmic principle, and there are given to many purposes. But we try to do this business with using large scale structure summation. And also, the fluctuation was seeded by the initial condition. We just swallowed it, okay, it's a Gaussian, but extreme non-Gaussian. And then such a non-Gaussian effect also can be testable using the large scale structure. And also, we do not quite well understand intermediate the foreground the material, so it can kind of work the auxiliary the vision. And more or less, what I'm also very interested is that not just the cosmology, so we have some enormous amount of the data set, then how we can use such a data set? How we can use such a data set with the broader community of isotope vision? So I'm trying to communicate with you some the stellar population people and other community, and we try to investigate what is the possibility to maximize our application to the broader community. But here, considering the relevance to the PI agenda, probably I just some focus on the second part is how we well understand the creation of signal using the general relativity. So let me start over. So now we can define the current state of the cosmology as a focal unknown. We already introduced the first unknown dark matter. It is already a bad enough because we do not quite understand. We have never been tested here. But what's just fine, as far as we can fit the data is good. But with the discovery of the cosmic the acceleration, and technically we also introduced the additional dark star, which is completely renewed. And then with the keep adding the unknown particle, and then we suspicious our foundation of the understanding cosmology. And but with the marginalization of the semi, and with given the known the extension history test, we're pointing clearly the presence of the first dark component and presence of the second dark component. So there is not the evidence showing such a thing present. So now the next generation or next step is should be we should understand the nature of such a thing. So based on this, actually this is a poster. The SDS will be developed to the poster next generation, and then I'm pretty sure the another ground survey scanning will be published soon. And also it's a little bit about the it's uncertain, but anyway, we have some plan, the wide and the deep, the sky scanning at the outside space, and pretty sure it will happen. We cover the harder sky, the coverage from the ground base. From this, now it is moment for us to ask some questions, to answer the question, what can we do with such a large scale scanning? And the first common question is that, if you combine everything, then actually this kind of figure of matter can be improved and better. And eventually, we nail down very tight constraint of the dark energy, then they say that we can understand.
So actually, you should explain what figure of merit is.
The figure of merit is a ratio between the stage 2 against the stage 4. Stage 4 is equal to MSST and then the JDM nucleator.
So it's the size of the error.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So
it's
the
inverse.
Well, it's the
kind of the error.
It's the stage 2 divided by the stage 4. So it's not much better.
Yeah. So the area of the area of the error function.
Sure.
That would be that would be.
Yeah, so actually, such an improvement in the future with the large scale structure survey actually is a motivator to keep it. But still, there are something more we can do with the large scale structure formation, which we are not able to ignore. It's something like that. The structure formation will reveal the actual, the inhomogeneity of the building block, the image of inhomogeneity building block. And based on this, surely it unveils the local dynamic of inhomogeneity, which will make us understand the qualified nature of the region of the cosmic acceleration and all kinds of such stuff. Basically, first, let me just introduce some building blocks. So let me classify the two different cases. The first part is the singometric perturbation there. And then we just say, okay, the fluctuation, but in the quantity, energy momentum fluctuation is completely different to the sense from the metric perturbation. It's completely different here. But in the cosmological sense, we actually translate this quantity to the energy fluctuation by using general relativity at the cosmological scale, but unfortunately, it has negative test. But we assume that the general relativity works fine at the solar system scale, and the probability works fine at the cosmological scale. Then actually, we are able to connect this quantity with this quantity with some quantification and polarization. But there's a theoretical model, and which actually break such a the relation which is predicted by general relativity. So, for example, like case of these people. So these people, like Dibali-Gamal-Sekulabir, and they introduced the extra dimension, and then they make the gravity weaker at the infrared scale, and therefore actually is followed by the final cosmic acceleration without the Lambda scale. That is the sensor in the expansion history. And then, but by the way, other than the expansion history, they make the success. If you go to the other story in the structure formation, it makes a really interesting stuff. So for example, the structure formation dynamic is not closed in the 4D Bianchi identity because the normally the anisotropy stress was given by the fluid dynamic, but here the anisotropy was induced by the projected the bifluid on the 4D dynamic. So to solve the 4D Bianchi identity in the local dynamic, and we need at least one of two. And the constant indication of the biofluid anisotropy, or at least some dynamic indication of the biofluid. Unfortunately, there is a fluctuation in the propagates from the extra dimension can be solved by Master equation. So the trick was introduced by some people was that we actually simultaneously solved the 4D Bianchi identity and then fixed dimensional the Master equation. And then we end up with such a story. So as I told you, there's some metric perturbation. In the right-hand side, there's some energy momentum fluctuation. Now, the relation is not exactly something which is predicted by the Einstein equation, because there's some new fluid. It's not quite fluid. It's a geometrical reasoning of fluid. It's induced by biofluid. And then the relation is actually the loops of breaking. So it seems like the mass, like so if you put the metal perturbation in the loops of potential there, it looks at the potential where it appears to be screened or anti-screened. And second one is that no matter how the fluid dynamic gives you zero anisotropy stress, unfortunately, the projected by fluid is present, and the anisotropy stress is induced by geometrical region. So there are two observations, and we can agree is that mass screening effect can be introduced, and also anisotropy stress can be introduced. Then, what is the consequence of the mass screening effect? And for example,
sorry, can you go back? So what is that rho E delta E?
It's a fine fluid.
It's the dark fluid, okay.
Yeah.
And the key, a small Q, what is
this? This is due to the modified the expansion history, yes.
Sorry, the dark fluid is the unit in the bulk or
something. No, it's the fine fluid.
Well,
yeah.
I'm just trying to understand, is it Is it degeneracy between Q and then rho delta E or that?
No, actually, there is no such a degeneracy. So actually, this is due to the Friedman equation form is changed. So this was introduced from the modified Friedman form. And then actually, this is introduced, it's projectionally back from the Meyer fluid, Alex Fischer.
Then,
Meyer tensor was projected here, and he induced some Alex Fischer, and at the same time, it also induced the density projection.
But delta E, is that independent of delta M? So you could have, or they're related? Because if they are independent, you cannot go to the second.
Oh, actually, yeah. So this is rho M.
That's rho M?
Yeah, rho M.
But I think delta E. Is delta E and delta M, are they independent quantities or are they related?
Yes, it's an independent quantity.
Okay, so then you cannot go to the next line, because then you have...
Oh, actually, the QA was kind of divided by rho M delta M, and then the numerator is rho M delta M plus rho E.
Okay.
So actually, QA is included every particle. I write it this way because this is a kind of the usual thing, which is expected form, the simplified geometry, by the
Cartesian. But I'm saying that capital Q can be a function of a space as well. If delta M and delta E are independent, then if you divide one by the other.
Is this the one you factorize it as the usual epsilon in Stockman rule?
Just
the one, because there should be one
plus some epsilon, right? Let me see. QA. Yeah. Oh, now I have to point to the idea. So, this is a kind of the quasi-static scale. The originally the bifluid equation was given by the dynamic equation, but because the k scale term is much greater than h scale, which is here against the time variation, then actually the bifluid and the energy, the component was laid down with the constraint equation. So then was makes the perturbation was the easier, which was fine by the parameter method. And then in the quasi scale approximation, rho M is related to the delta T. Yeah. By using such a constraint equation, we named down this. And so this is in the time interval. There is no discussion. So what is story going on is that when the metal domination begin and the whole good in the density fluctuation and start to grow coherently up to this time. But when we come into the lambda CDM, the cosmic acceleration error, the leading component density fluctuation is not anymore leading component expansion history, it's a decayed away. So in this time, the impact of the mass screen test, something like that, if your metal looks due to the screen factor, like the separation here, and then if there is a screen factor and it looks shallower, then actually we expect more decay, which is the first consequence from the mass screen factor. And next one is this piece kind of the pathological because it has every the possibility. In the normal nature, actually there is an anti-screening effect, and then the potential appear is deeper than usual, then actually we can see enhanced the structure formation. So mass screening factor actually kind of impact on structure formation in this way. So now point is that.
Sorry, can I go back? So the thing that you're plotting here is like the amplitude of matter over density or potential?
No, this is potential.
This is the potential.
Yeah, potential. And I just feel present. If you put the metal, like this, if there is a screening, then this potential looks shallow. So this is kind of the appearance of the potential well for the metal fluctuation.
Yeah. Is that the same potential as the plotting on the clock, or is it a different potential?
The which one? The same data.
So this is the lensing potential, or is this?
This is the potential of the finance, yes, finance.
So this is for the lensing, okay.
Yeah, which is also.
So what is the difference between SDGP and NDGP?
SDGP is a kind of that, you know, actually, I like the Q, and then for the general relativity here, it's equal to 1. But for the SDGP, it's kind of become, less than 1, basically. So technically means that if you see the potential well, and then you do not, if you see the potential well, and then you look the potential well, just follow one. And the normal DCP, its sign is a plot. Actually, you can see exactly the opposite case. So it looks deeper.
So it depends on the sign of the
sign of the branch. When you switch the branch, and then the Q actually becomes completely different.
I think if you write it down, it becomes clear. Like it's not obvious if it's buttered in time.
Yes.
You're talking about the Friedman equation, or.
Yes, right. So I do not find clear. It's something like that. So probably something like the 1 plus. I do not remember clearly, but some beta character, and then without the DCP, basically this is kind of Q factor, and the beta equals 0 is 1, but actually there is a sign. So depending on branch, then actually this becomes less than 1, and this becomes a greater than 1, something like this.
Yeah. I mean, one thing else is, for self-accelerating DGP, you don't need a cosmological constant, it's just accelerating this one. But for normal DGP, you need to add the cosmological constant. So that's what
yes.
The difference.
Cool. So then, from the case of DGP, and we learn something, and then when you introduce some of the usual formula, then the relation between the delta and the phi can be modified, and also, even without the fluid anisotropy, the geometrically, the anisotropy can be geometrically induced. So there is another factor yet, which is two independent, two free degrees of freedom should be tested by using somehow the experiment. Then we just realized that this is not the case for the modified relative. So for example, the interaction dark energy model, and then we found that even without any apparent modification, and if there is some exotic dark energy, like the interaction between the dark matter and the dark energy, then actually the Q mass screen appear to be induced. So this is a story. First of all, let me slow down. Baryon actually the well tested, there is no coupling, but we never been tested. So we never tested it. So why not? It can be coupled. So it can be created or annihilated to each other depending on the sign or value of the constant, which was proposed by Amendola. And we further investigate this theory, and we classify into three categories. And we found this really interesting aspect in terms of local inorganic dynamic. So first case, when the coupling constant is proportional to the dark energy component, and then we do not find any modification of the beyond cavity from the simplest joint there, and everything just fine, it's the same. But if the C is a proportional to the dark energy, and we find that the continuity equation between the delta and the Pythagorean system, which is broken by introducing this type of the theory. This is only one the possible theory that we can break a continuity equation. Even such a thing is not present in the modified relative, the as far as well. And so the type of the coupling is more interesting. When you introduce the C, the proportional to some of the
but specific functional form actually is not right, final. Functional form of the output, then even equivalence principle is broken. What does it mean by this? Is that if there is on the same potential layer, if you put the two different particles, fire and four particles, now equivalence principle is broken, so two particles is falling into the potential layer in the different layer. So based on such a thing, and we found that Q and Yenta is also induced in the iteration documentation like this. So first type, well, there is no the modification in the dynamic, it's at least just simple. We actually measure the density fluctuation using the visible the tracer like the galaxy cluster, but because the continuity condition is preserved, this is identical to the data system here. So we can factor out the rho n, but by the way, rho c with a decay in the different way from the a cubic, and then there is no way for us to actually measure matter component history. So what we used to do is that we just use some effective the matter component was scaled down from the measurement from the rest skeleton surface. We just factored decayed like adiabatically a to cubic. So once you using the effective rho n, which is decayed a to cubic, because it's not identical to the rho c, eventually from this equation and the q mass screening factor appear to be induced. So this is the first case how we induce the q in the real darkness model. But still, because apparently I do not use any ISP stress, so Yeta is equal to 1. This is kind of feature of the induced Q and Yeta in the interaction technology, is the Yeta stay 1 and the Q can be induced. So this is plotted by some Gabi Cabrera, the one who's still at the who work on this.
So can you go back actually? So you are not really modifying Poisson equation.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
But then somehow you end up with a modified Poisson equation because
you don't know the rho c.
Because you don't know rho c.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So if you use the wrong rho c, you use
the
lambda c dm rho c, then
yes,
then you get a different Poisson.
Yes.
Sorry, what's rho p?
Baryon, I guess.
Yeah. And baryon is a scalar. Divided by HV, there is no interaction. But rho c is not the decay like the HV, it's not the functional form, we do not know. But because we do not measure this directly, so we estimate this and then it's an interesting case story. Yes.
You fit the data in the end, you the lambda CDM fits all the data.
Here's the tricky
part. What is it you're looking for?
Is it that are you saying that there's a degeneracy between Q and bias?
There is no bias.
Yes,
so, well, there is sort of bias if you're if you can only measure rho c effectively. Mm-hmm.
So let me get back to the point. So actually possibly your question and what the executive people, right? By measuring the training. And we analyze this the answer is some of the next slide. But the point is that when you measure the Q and Yeta, and then that actually increases the discrete power, because we just find that the expected trajectory in the Q Yeta plane is modified here, and the interaction technology, and I explained the cropping technology is completely simple. Once we measure each point, then actually we can claim this as a kind of discriminate between the different series.
Yes. The problem can be reduced to finding the equation state W.
Yes.
But to do that, it's a very difficult observation. So your new observations have to, for example, if you work it out, it can depend on twice the root of the distance.
Yes.
To sort of move and so on.
Yes.
So it's not clear in these new observational can determine accurately enough the equation state to distinguish between lambda CDM and whatever else.
Oh, actually, though, I have to say it this way. So here, yeah, I agree with your point. If you use a lambda CDM, then we cannot do this vision. So here, actually, what I meant by is that here, with the given the expansion history, in the QCDM, basically, it's not the lambda CDM, W is a bearing. So QCDM kind of really the monstrous the CM, which can fit any types of the expansion history. With the given expansion history, which is supposed to be given by the low C, true low C, but even though you use the effective at the low end, and you still find the effective dark energy, the density fluctuation, which is just controlled by WA mediation, then actually you can find the exact pattern of the dark energy effective potential, which can exactly fit here. The same type of expansion history is produced by the true Ruby and Lucy. So it's a completely degenerate. So there's not a single expansion history can be fitted by, can be produced by the true energy component, and also the same expansion history can be fitted by your effective matter component with your effective dark energy.
That's the whole point that going into perturbations, right?
Yes, right. So it's the underlying is the expansion history the measure. And then the computer is just coming from there. We just use the instruction. Okay, so it's induced. Now the interaction dark energy second case is more interesting because here I told you in the classification briefly, and then continuity equation of the dark matter component is broken down. So it's not anymore low B and low C. Probably bias is a problem, but set aside this problem, but this one. And then actually, we can factor out our measure low B, and there are another component that comes in because low C is not for low B, and a more complicated form, but still, the master screening factor is objectively induced with the same consequence over the ELTA if the scale is identical. Same for the third class equivalence principle. Now, Cramming dark energy model. So, again, let's forget about any quintessence or the kinetic and the dark energy model. Just to make it arbitrary, there is another dark energy model which we do not understand anything. Then in the perturbation level, we can think about the two possibilities. And the present perturbation is completely unknown. And also, because we do not know any physical process in the dark energy, so RSP stress due to dark energy is completely unknown. Then, normally said, in the quintessence of the dark energy model, it's just a smooth out because it has the sound speed is equal to 1, then if there's some pressure support, it's killed away the potential there. But if we just make a maximally generalized dark energy model, it's not anymore true because if you look at the graph, please, then there's a pressure support which are against the potential there, but there's some anisotropic potential is still there. It means that whatever you give for the pressure support, it can be cancelled by anisotropic stress. Then, no matter how is the you have the non-zero the pressure support, and it is exactly cancelled by the anisotropy, and we can still have the data pressure clumping. So in the maximally generalized sense, pressure support, we just impose inside the condition, and the pressure support is something like that. Some constant proportional to the density fluctuation, and some functional form can be proportional to all case here. And for the sigma DE, and for first case, we depend on the F sigma, actually, we can control how much the pressure support can be cancelled by anisotropy, and also the inverse case scale term can be introduced here. And
sorry, can you actually define what sigma DE is?
No, it's not. It's not the sound scale. It's just a general. which does not make the instable, it's just stability. So with such a parameter, then we just achieve the stability of the such a parameter.
Yeah, I'm just asking what sigma, sigma dark energy, what is it?
This is just RSP stress.
So what is it? I mean, is what is it like a off diagonal component of the energy momentum transfer? Is
off diagonal? No, it's not. For example, the
it's the sort of Tij you can write as grad I grad j scalar.
Grad I grad j of a scalar. Okay, so that's a scalar. Good. So that's Tij grad I grad j.
Okay, so here is the scalar component. So here, then actually from the given the parameterization, actually we can classify the two different cases. The first one is that we can generate a coherent growth which is not observed the normal, the physical, the surface speed, and also we can generate a scale pattern. And in which case, scale pattern, surely GP, G sigma, the scale dependence term should be ignored. And the second one is that F sigma, if you see again this term, it should exactly cancel this guy because the actually K depends on the potential well, and then the delta is a different. So unless it is not exactly cancelled, different scale dependence of delta and the C induce the scale dependence cross correlation. So for the first case, it's just simply the GP G sigma is equal to zero and the F sigma is equal to exactly one, then we can induce the such a the here with controlled by only one single parameter here. Now, so here, it is worthwhile to remind you that we need 2 degrees of freedom and the QN vector, but how about the measurement? If the measurement does not be constrained to independent degrees of freedom, then no matter how the theory is beautiful, it cannot be falsified. But fortunately, there are 2 different ways we can think about this. Of course, we are not able to measure phi separately, but still, from the weak ranging and ISW, any the large scale experiment which is following the photon transfer, actually constrain phi minus C. This potential is in terms of our range here, in the QN data, is expressed by this. So, in the sense of the measurement, the sigma is indicating the departure from the known phi minus C potential. It's measured by the weak ranging or any type of theory. But still, this is only one the measurement about the one parameter. Still, we need the analog experiment, which is not yet well developed, but soon we expect that it will be developed soon. So here, the picular velocity, and if we measure the picular velocity, and from based on this, using the overlay equation, we can reconstruct here the neutral potential sphere. The theory is developed here from this paper. And then, taking the means that the mu combination of the QN vector directly related with this. So it means that once we measure the mu and sigma to independent degrees of freedom, the technical means that we can also constrain the QN data. So in principle, we can measure. So once we departure from any single value, then technically we can claim, okay, GR is departure. Is there anything more than that? Then surely we can more than this. For example, if we put the theory, the 3 different types of theory in the sigma will plane, the first example is kind of just get timed by getting model. If the scale dependence term we ignore, then QN delta was a functional form of the only one, the single parameter, the plastic parameter W. So it means that in the plastic time modified getting model, QN delta is not completely clear. There's some relation. If you nail down with the sigma, A equal to 1, and the mu is the departure W here. Because it's the make reasonable, because the plastic tie is coupled to the trace of the radiation. So photon trajectory should be does not couple to the modification. So
actually I'm a bit confused about that Yes.
That conclusion. So it is true that if you introduce a scalar, which is conformally coupled metric, then that doesn't change photon trajectory. Or you just rescale the metric by a scalar, that photons don't see it. But then, of course, matter does see it, and the growth of matter density will be different.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And that means that you have more galaxies, for example. So that means you've got to kind of increase the lengthening eventually, even
yes.
though for the same matter distribution, maybe you don't see any difference, the growth of matter distribution will be different. So,
mm-hmm.
so it seems that lensing should be able to tell us about whether there's a Ransky key or not. Do you think so?
Yeah, so this is true, and then this because the Lorentz schema is equal to 1, the technical means that the delta is different. So technical means that by measuring both the function and actually we can compare each other. But if you look here, actually what I'm pointing out is that if we just use the weak ranging experiment and the phi minus c, and then basically the project it's a bit the complication theory, the argument here. Okay, let me get to the point in the central exercise.
Okay, sure.
The Ransky decay predicts the bending of light in the solar system.
Yes.
We know a lot about gravity in the solar
yes.
system.
Yes.
That omega Ransky has to be about 10 to the 5
the
to fit because it's Cassini, spacecraft Cassini experiment.
Yeah.
And this pretty well rules it out.
Yeah, so we just technically also just the one.
Whatever step. Else you're left with, this is
yeah.
gets ridiculous,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah, I know. Even there's some the.
Like chameleon, you have it.
Not the chameleon,
it's another
thing. You there is some the.
He's talking about Ransky.
So for example, if there is some the surface interaction term is introduced, that technically means that in the nonlinear of the scale of the diagram is more complicated. So here actually I just roughly assume that such a nonlinear by tuning some of the nonlinear scene, then we probably make the solar system unmodified and only modified in the large scale. Mm.
There's a commercial, I have a paper coming out. January, where I redo brain sticking in a slightly modified way, and I get gamma, I proposition editing gamma to gamma once.
Yeah.
So look for that paper.
The second one is
that the interaction actors. It's very simple because the delta is always made down of the 1. You have the only one single, the Q. So when the delta degrees of freedom is completely killed away, then we relate to sigma is equal to 1. So we define the trajectory. The second one is that when you impose the coherent growth condition, technically, two independent degrees of freedom, so made down is equal to 1. So technically means that. We end up with another trajectory. So, in the given the specific reasoning of the reducing degrees of freedom, and we find such a trajectory, and so such a test, not only a test, is can be possibly the theoretical model difference test. So, I have to briefly mention about the Rachel Lee's paper, and she actually did this job. And what she reported was that she actually claimed. Okay, the GR is ruled out by combining the constant mostly from the WF plus the weak ranging vectors, the cosmos. Cosmos is a kind of very the narrow, the small area sky coverage will get deeper. So actually split into three different beams, first, second, higher. Here's the beam, actually the matter, she acknowledge this. And the first being, there is no GR departure. The second being, intermediate register, there is no GR departure. And what makes the departure is coming from here, the higher the register being. So why? And then this is the analysis based on the old the data set. It's published 3 years ago, but it was reanalyzed there. And they just realized that they just make a mistake in the photogen, they underestimate the photogen, the register. So technical means when you're on the estimated total sphere, and you're the estimated power spectrum coming down, so you need something to cosmological parameter boost up. So without the cosmological parameter in 2006, they made sigma a greater than 1. But when you introduce the GR, the modified elliptic parameter, it's ended up with GR is broken. But I'm not quite sure whether it's true or not. But anyway, here is our analysis. And we give a Cosmos data set. We combine the with WMAT and CHF-TLS in the sigma and the mu plane. And actually see, because in the we can change the direction, actually it's a pretty much constrained around the one, which is the GR, always a little weak about it. And also in another the point, which is as I pointed out in the mu is the nuclear potential. We have never measured the pure velocity. It's a completely uncertain. In the two-dimensional contour, so if we translate in the two-dimensional contour, and we have some constraint along this direction, but we do not have any constraint any new direction. So what do you need to do? So surely we need something else now. This is my plan the project in a couple of months. The first one, if you measure the pure velocity, then the measurement, something like the SCDM velocity, will break this contour in this direction. And we already have the other experiment, large bulk flow, probably parameter of Waterloo University made the large bulk flow. Then if you apply this, you end the work, the GR is broken in the here. In the opposite sense, if we find a small bulk flow, then the GR is broken in this direction. So now it's a game is in this plane or longer, how is broken this GR direction. So far, we have not had any the prevalence measurement until last year. And then there are surprising paper by University of Waterloo in the Parameter Institute. And
that wasn't the parameter, I just bought
it. She hears both this.
Is it? Okay. Is mine the parameter?
Well, it's
okay, I didn't.
So they actually found the largest scale bulk flow, it's 800, and followed by some of the other caching scheme. And he made it much better. It's, I think it's more than 1,000 kilometers. Then where is the LCDM? LCDM is right up there, definitely outside of the 1 sigma level, and even edge of the 2 sigma level is ruled out. So if we apply such a particular velocity, we are laid down the GR. The business at the GR is broken along the new direction. But by the way, this is not the end of the story because we have not used fully the method of the particular velocity. How? We can measure the particular velocity. This is a kind of a classical method. We measure inhomogeneity not in the real space. So we measure inhomogeneity in the redshift space. When you look at the inhomogeneity redshift space, depending on your particular velocity, it looks appeared anisotropic. This universe is anisotropic homogeneous. So there is no reason other than particular velocity is appeared to be anisotropic stressor. So there is somehow, anyway, based on this, once you give this the shape, then we should know how to read particular velocity from here, how we can read. This is a developed technique in a couple of months ago. The first, which is called the sigma pi diagram, the first generation streaming model. And the proof of the probability distribution, and we make a regenerator of the random map, which is what's quite the thing of the effect in the nonlinear scale. But it does not quite work well in the large scale. And then basically, the first ever idea, the introduced by the Kaiser, and which is works well at the large scale. And then the like the Fisher in the 95 or Lorenz Kochbarov, and they try to find how to make connect both ideas, the single mathematical formalism. But here we do not worry about such a thing, but simply we just deal with the shape information at the linear region. Then we are end up with three different momentum. First monopole, second quadrupole, the third one is a quadrupole. What do we have? The first one. I have to confess that here I assume
the coherent evaluation vector metal domination. I know that some epigraphic values are epigraphic here. They predict the later time schedule. Let's forget about this for a moment. Then, our expected the power spectrum was split into two different sectors. So one is the scale dependent part, which is determined by the radiation transfer to the metal domination era, which is when we marginalize the WMAP, this is well constrained. It's nearly fixed by WMAP marginalization. And now we have only 2 degrees of freedom. The first one is the galaxy, the trace of the growth function plus peculiar velocity and then coherent function. We have the 2 different scene. The second one is that we have the quadruple, same thing is true. Scale dependence factor was factored out the epsilon 2. Once it's factored out, we have left with the 2 degrees of freedom. If you look at the both, then you can find something very interesting. With a single shape, and we should find how to break the degeneracy between the GB and GB. But in the normal, the structure formation dynamic, and this guy completely dominating over this guy. So technically, when you change the GB, and the monopoly increasing and the monopoly decreasing, overall shape. And when you change the GB, and we found something interesting because this is subdominant, and the monopole is not quite influenced, and the leading order of the quadrupole is a cross correlation. So mainly you change the quadrupole, which contributes to the stress, which end up with this idea. The first, I show you what I say about the GB. When you change the galaxy power spectrum, and you see the overall the shift changing. And then now, when you change the GB, when you change the RSP stress, and the distillation extended, and the suppressed, and the impure increasing more. So technically, this different way of the shape dependence of the host parameter allow us the rate of degeneracy between the GB and GB. And once we know this, because this is marginalized by the WMAP, we are able to predict one day the peculiar velocity dispersion. So this is a one-day calculator. Here's a 3D map from the new catalog of the SPS. It's a cluster sample, and second one is the 2D lens shift in the galaxy. The first one, probably this is very close to the scale of the lens shift, where the micro actually measure the largest bulk flow. But fortunately, we found lambda CDM medium value, but still 800 kilometer per second is not the excluded in the 1 sigma H here. But it's not quite the we cannot compare this the measurement with theirs because it's a different redshift. But in the different redshift, we found the solid lambda CDM. It's a favorable, and then with pretty much here, the narrow, the marginalizer, the peculiar velocity. So once we know this, and we can continue this business, I combine this, the control soon, but in the higher redshift, and the measured by some of the spectroscopy SS data, and we end up with SDM. And I'm going to put the large bulk flow and measure by that in the low lens shift. Probably appear to be the GRC program, but I do not know about the range of the.
So obviously, bulk flows, not everything in the universe is not have a uniform bulk flow, or else.
Yes.
So it's a statistical statement since the lambda CDM's bulk flow has a certain value.
Yes.
So do you have any thoughts? I mean, on how you turn these particular measurements? You can do a handful.
Yes.
How do you compare? It's sort of an apples and oranges comparison. I thought about it myself. But do you have any thoughts on that?
I have to say this way because as far as in the range here of we actually the ensemble average here. So actually we make the 2-point correlation function with the arbitrary of the sky, the using DRC. And then as far as the region we targeted there, and then average value of the peculiar velocity of this. So surely I have no idea for the other the area, but I think that the point study, the sky coverage of the SDS, it's probably enormous the amount of work, but probably we cannot image that. The SDS covers sky coverage well, very particular position, like some huge void or huge emerging up here. It's possible if we spot such a thing that it would be completely different from the other region.
This must be a scale. I'm confused about this. There's no one bulk flow
logically,
right? So you just have a power spectrum that's scalable, and you just need to put on those plots. What scale are you measuring this on? I mean, it's like saying I found sigma of 0.1, well, sigma of what? Volume.
Yeah.
Right? So this is, I mean, have I missed something here?
No.
It's just you have fluctuations in a velocity field,
yes.
And those fluctuations go to zero on large enough scales. Once you take up the Hubble.
So, like,
okay. So what scales on the next plot, on the next slide, what scales are those measuring on?
So it's kind of a tricky question. So actually we discussed with and then suppose that there's some case scale and then there's some power scale on some called this guy and some the scale. And then probably something like some scale dependency the power spectrum. But what I'm saying is that scale dependency, we do not consider any scale dependency say, induced by the length of time. So scale dependency is fixed. And what the measure is that, of course, it's a kind of the k up to 0.1 to 0.03. And the measuring this point, what the assumption is that this scale dependency is overall basically, the shape of the power spectrum was determined by the determined by transfer function. It's something like the when you measure the pk beta function, like a shape like this, and the hooking point was the indicator of the k scale was a matter radiation equality. And since after that, shape was depend on the your transfer function. So transfer function define the shape, and once afterward, and again, we are in total scale, right? So growth factor at the end later time. It's overall, this shape is up and down.
Yeah, okay, yes. Fine. This is all the matter power spectrum. If you go to the plot two
yes.
slides later, you measure a value of 200 kilometers a second. That
yes.
number on its own doesn't mean anything. It only means something if you define what volume you are averaging over.
Oh,
if
yes.
you average over a large
yeah,
enough volume,
not,
the number is zero.
So,
if you average over a small enough volume, you know, it's some large value.
Yeah.
So to compare those measurements, you have to know that you're measuring. It's as if you measured power and then say over what volume you're measuring that power.
Yes, right. So
okay.
what you try to do was that D3K and then like the picture velocity, the past the integrate over. But actually, I have to say that we actually integrate over from ek to zero. But this is surely true. We only measure from here to here.
But over what volume are you measuring those quantities? I don't understand this.
Oh yes, yeah. So actually what you measure is that the power spectrum, the how to say the coherent to the structure of the formation of the structure velocity.
Okay, so you're measuring this at some angle. So what angle are you measuring?
No, but like you don't have you don't need a volume, you can have velocity at one point. And that's the convergent number in that recipient, the integral, the velocity
yes.
average at one point. The RMS of velocity at one point is a well-defined number. Unlike density, which is infinite, delta rho squared is infinite at one point, but delta V squared is finite. And if you assume you know the shape, then you can, and you constrain the normalization in some scale, then you can take that integral and have just a number. Which is like finite, assuming that you know the shape, it turns out.
And ignoring nonlinear.
Ignoring nonlinear.
So then this is the
yes.
kinematics of some of the self-doubling effect. That's how you extract the volume, the way you explain. I mean, how you extract the outflow.
Well, no, there's a,
So there inference is completely statistical. So you don't, but like what Mike Hansen does, it just is one volume. But there they're just averaging over all the volumes.
Hansen and Kashvinsky are using the Sonia Stoltovich effect.
But
Kashvinsky
is not.
Kashvinsky
is, yeah.
Is
Kashvinsky
the same?
I mean, I guess maybe then what I'd say with Mike Hansen's measurement is that is not something that is independent of the volume he's measuring over.
Yeah, because
it tends towards something that you go to a larger volume.
Yeah.
And it's one number
out
of a distribution.
Yeah.
So you would presumably want to measure how the fluctuations in that number vary with volume.
Yeah.
Is that a constant
number?
Are you saying it merges with a constant number?
Well, I don't think we can go that far. It's finite volume.
Theoretically, it's not supposed to go
to zero.
It's supposed to go
to zero. Right. Yeah, I still don't understand this.
You're
saying the velocity of a single point doesn't go to zero, but the velocity of the volume goes to zero.
Yeah, velocity of a single point doesn't go to zero.
Yes. So we have a something like that. You say each product is through the our measurement field, the gross spectrum of the G setup. So what actually we measure is the gross spectrum of the G setup. It's up to the A QB to the H minus 3 to the value channel the 1. Actually from from B video, we actually normalize in the W and then the lambda CDN and the different theory. We will end up with the different value. So actually, what we actually measure such a this gross spectrum, and once we know the gross spectrum, and then we can convert this information to the programming scale, and based on the transfer function was given by. So it is a different story from the what the mic is measured by using this one. Yeah, it's a different of the object. So let me just the quickly. So now, what I'm going to do is that we start from the knowledge cluster and we complete the two measurements. And we are very interested in we construct the unbiased history of the NSS using the same technique. And next one, we are consulting the widget. It's just published yesterday. And in the final register, we already introduces this slot at the 0.8, and we complete the higher register, and then there is on the future. So, I will briefly.
Are they how high they are? You haven't got the cap version. That's
the which one? This one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 0.6, 0.8.
That's right.
Are those actual measurements on the VP axis?
We hope so. So we do. Yeah, so we.
Those are not beautiful.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
it's not the data frame. So we want to continue this idea. So this is the data he was in. So now, let me just skip through. This is one part of the redshift survey, and then we developed the technique and how to estimate the feature vector for the future. And we just provide such information to the large scale structure. The designer actually was being asked by the Euclid people, and we provide a Euclid with major picture velocity in this way. So exactly what you measure is a kind of picture velocity here. The picture velocity constant. So depending on the height, and then we can measure the scatter ratio in this way. So another project we are doing this is the we want to provide the ultimate answer. What is the maximum usage of the magic survey? We just do not want to use such the very valuable the data with such a value modulation. We want to do something else. This is the only one. The second one is the functional test, because I talked about so many times. I'm sorry. So now, what I'm going to do is that we recommend the future survey. You should not go through just one of the steps of the cleansing organization survey. You should need both. Once we have both, and we have some opportunity to measure sigma and mu, as I explained. So another one is that without using any parameterization, and we are able to reconstruct this BTS, but we also already talked in the parameters, size here. So our recommendation is something like that. So such a test, if you trust the systematic uncertainty of the parameter, this is your test. So if you believe the GR prior, this is the recurring systematic uncertainty test. So our recommendation is that the feature survey should go in the equivalently recurring and branch shift survey. So now our conclusion. So extend the cosmological parameter space, we developed the idea and what is the meaning of the measure of the new degrees of freedom and the particular level scale, nice under developed. Now we prepare the massive amount of the energy simulation as you the you guys the point out how to compare with the minus and then we try to make resolution and from the simulation map and we try to apply our method and we try to apply the method, we compare each other. And there are many things we are trying to do. And also, in the third point, because now there are many some scheduled LSS survey, so we want to provide our theoretical insight how to optimize the leadership survey or how to make optimize the recurring survey, which is pretty consistent with the uncertainty. So this is all.
Thank you.
So there was a lot of stuff in your talk. We actually go through fast, but he's fortunately Yang-san is going to be here through the end of the week until Friday, so we can use talk to him about all this stuff. But if you have any other questions, ask Marika.
But you don't leave either the GR priors or the week. For week, let's say you said that you could use either use week something to test GR, if you believe week something, or you could use GR to test weak cleansing if you
yeah.
GR.
Yeah.
What if you're not certain by either? There's a serious question there, which is.
He gave
a binary choice, which is that I have to either believe weak cleansing or GR. And I was just in the spirit of perimeter saying, what if I don't want to believe either? The serious question at the core of that is, do you think that weak cleansing can be used reliably? Is there any other way to test how reliable
I have to say this way. So if this is motivation and you're dealing with it, and technically, so there are two different people, and some people actually they swallow GR prior, there are some people and swallow the pretending systematic uncertainty. Then actually, in the end, if our measurement is consistent, then technically means that, okay, the game is over. It's a consistent. No matter if it's true or not, or the code. This is not, probably not likely. Systematic uncertainty is there, and the GR is not true, but both compensate equal to, this is really hard to see. But if there is some difference, it's happen, then this is a starting point we should investigate. So there is
other questions? So one question I have, you didn't talk much about Rx tapative. So there is this tentative statement that there's too much Rx tapative, twice as big, right? Like two sigma is a two sigma statement.
Yes.
But then where do you, if let's say that's true, where in that diagram does that put you, if you ask? That is actually true that the amount of Rx tapative efficacy is twice as big as.
Actually, the best paper of the correlation was the paper was published by the Thomas Rowe and Steve Kotler, Chris Hansen, recently. Now, I don't know. And so, what I have to do is that I have to combine. So far, this is ongoing work in the finish. We just finished double map plus recurrence. And then, actually, we invite Thomas Rowe in our project, and we are going to combine the ISP. So probably as you expect, because two sigma, and our recurrent data set is still less two sigma to measure. It can be shifted due to the yes, but I don't know.
Okay,
I think
that's interesting.
Yes.
Okay, other questions? If not, I guess we're gonna take
anybody unless anybody disagrees with it, like Young sent to dinner tonight. But he's gonna be here for the next couple of days. Okay, let's start again. Yeah, free dinner.